Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Welcome to the Fantrax Toolshed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From dynasty to prospects to redraft, we got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 150 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clegg and Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We have another fun episode in store today. With me, as usual, is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, are you excited to talk some more baseball here as the season winds down?
I am. I feel like we haven't been behind the mic in a while, and that's I enjoy being behind the mic, so it's a good time. When I was getting everything ready on my desk, I was like, God, it feels like it's been a while since I've done this, even though it really hasn't been that long. But, you know, used to doing a couple shows a week, and now I'm down to just one. And then we didn't do the Sunday show. So, yeah, it's good to be back for sure.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. It's weird going from two episodes a week to one, though it'll only be temporary. We'll be back to two episodes. Probably, I think last year we went back up to two. I think it was like early December when we started getting to like our dynasty rankings and episodes. So probably be another, you know, 2.5-3 months. We'll be back up to the two episodes a week. But for now, we'll still get you the one every week and still get a lot of fun stuff to talk about. Like, we got some good little mashup of topics and players today. A lot of fun stuff as we only have, 2 weeks left of the regular season. Your Atlanta Braves coming under the home stretch here with the New York Mets in the NL East. How you feeling, Chris? You think you're going to take the division? What are your thoughts?
I just don't have a good feeling about it. The Mets are just so good. And it's just like every time the Braves win, the Mets win. And the Mets open the door. Last week, they dropped four games, I think, and the Braves also dropped four or five. So it's like we were talking before, I think it's just they consistently have the same record over like the previous 10 games. So it just we've said like a game behind for a while. And I do. I think it'll come down to the series next weekend. Their Mets are in Atlanta next weekend. So three games set. It could really determine the series. So obviously hoping that the Braves win the division, you get that nice bye because they'd be the second best divisional winner. I like the playoff structure a little better this year. I do. I like the three wild card teams in the three game series. I think it actually sets up pretty well. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the playoffs kind of play out with that new format.
Yeah, I've always kind of, because, you know, it is slightly different, but it's kind of closer to like the NFL format where it's like, you know, six teams with the two buys. I kind of like having those buys. Like that's kind of my home keeper league's been for a while. Six teams, top two buys. So yeah, that's to be huge getting that pass into that next round. So it'd be fun to, you know, keep an eye on that matchup down the stretch here for sure. And I'm not even a Braves fan or a Mets fan. I'm a Red Sox fan, but not a lot to cheer about here in Beantown lately. We're just kind of like playing out the games till the season ends and then hopefully retool for 2023. But let's go ahead and get into this episode though. But before we do, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04, and our show's at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and review. Check out our Patreon for extra content from both of us. And of course, check out all the other great work from the entire team over at Fantrax HQ and move those leagues over today. Obviously, a lot of fantasy football is kind of heightened right now, but you know, you still got fantasy basketball, fantasy hockey, NASCAR, golf, EPL. You know, baseball's year round, obviously. So a lot of fun stuff over at Fantrax. Go check that out and move your leagues over today. But let's get right into it, Chris. Let's start out with, you know, basically the talker, one of the biggest names, and that's no pun intended because he is a very large man. Aaron Judge going for the home run record here, or at least the American League home run record. And, you know, depending on how you feel about Barry Bonds and Sosa and McGuire and all them, you might consider Maris's 61 still the actual home run record, even if the record books don't reflect that. But Judge right now leads the American League in every conceivable offensive category, maybe winning the Triple Crown this year. You and I both moved him up into our top 10 dynasty. I think I had him 7 and you 5, if I recall correctly. But here's the question I guess I have here, because some people have kind of asked this to me as well, given how dominant Judge has been. Is right now, it's kind of inconceivable to think about, but is right now a good time to sell high? I mean, he's got 60 home runs, 125 runs, 128 RBI, even has 16 steals randomly, and then a 317 average. So, but he's 30 years old. He has, this would be his, assuming he plays six more games, only his second year playing 150 games. He's again, 30, big man. Got to wonder how the body holds up in his 30s. Is now a good time to sell high, Chris?
I think so. I'm probably even wait until the off season because it seems pretty likely that he could take the Triple Crown of the American League, which is just crazy, but it's looking more likely every single day, which is nuts. Obviously, he's going to lead in home runs, RBI, got a pretty hefty lead in that, and batting average. He's up there with Xander, so it's possible that Aaron Judge could take the Triple Crown. I would say MVP is likely. You know, the MVP debates with Ohtani, like, gosh, it just gets people so riled up on the internet. Why can't we just enjoy both?
Right? Like, dude, I posted this. I just want to see what people thought. And I was like, hey, if you had a vote, who would you vote for AL MVP? And the poll just absolutely exploded. People were like fighting with each other in the comments. It was insane. But yeah, I'm right there with you. Just enjoy it.
Right. And Ohtani is going to do this every year. This is a historic season that we are seeing from Aaron Judge, which does lead to a good sell time in dynasty leagues. Now, it's not surprising that, you know, you look under the hood and everything looks great. Like, crazy enough, like, this is what Judge was doing last year. You look at his average exit velocity, very similar. Max, very similar. His XBA, very similar. to last season, he's just smoking baseballs. And that's what he does best. And I just have a feeling that we're thinking and looking at peak value. Not to say that you shouldn't keep Judge on your teams, but it really does feel like you could cash out and you could probably get multiple pieces that would be more valuable than Judge, you know, moving forward in Dynasty League. So it's all about knowing the appropriate value and what you would sell them for. So if you got offered a top 10 player plus another top 50 player, it certainly is interesting to think about because Judge could certainly move out of that range next season. Like we're talking again about a historic season that's going to be impossible to repeat.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you. And obviously it would take a lot to trade Aaron Judge, but he's kind of at that age where, you know, he kind of falls into the type of player that obviously you don't like, you don't look to get rid of these guys, but you at least entertain the thought. It's what I like to call retooling in Dynasty Leagues. Like I did that a couple years ago, trading, I got like Mookie Betts and I got back Bo Bichette and I think Luis Robert in that deal too. It might've been that. So kind of moves like that. Obviously Mookie Betts has had a very good year as well, but guys that are like these stars that are getting into like their early 30s. If you want to, you know, you can, if you want to ride up the storm, great. And, you know, get into their mid 30s, just maximize that. But getting two players that are basically more valuable in general and then will be even more valuable as time moves on, that's a good deal to make. So Judge kind of fits into that category. And again, don't just be like, all right, just I want to get him off my team. Obviously not. But yeah, he's 30. Who knows how long he can stay healthy. But the stats this year are just absolutely insane. Like you can take away 20% from his barrel rate and then he'd be league average. 26.7%, league average is 6.7%. It's crazy too. He actually had a higher X Wobicon back in 2017 than he does now. But you know, this is a guy that he has a high back up near 15% walk rate. K rate's kind of settled in around 25%. You know, EVs are, his average EV is over the threshold for hard contact, 95 miles an hour. He's 95.7. Last year was 95.8. You know, obviously, you know, is red as far as the eye can see on that Savant page. But yeah, he is top 10 right now for me. And I said you as well, obviously kind of has to be. But if you could get, let's throw some scenarios out here, Craig. Let's say, they pull up my rankings. Let's say someone offered you, you have Judge. Someone comes up and offers you, how about like a Austin Riley? Oh, let's just go two Braves. Austin Riley, Michael Harris for Judge. Ooh,
that's fun. I mean, Riley's got the big power. Riley hits for good average. Plus, you're getting another player. Well, one, you're filling third base, which is pretty significant. And you get an outfielder that has power speed. I think I'd probably take that.
Okay, and that, for reference, Riley, for me, is 19 and Harris 28. So that's kind of like, I think that's a good kind of base point there of what it would take to trade away a guy like Aaron Judge, who I currently have at, oh, I have him at 9. I thought I had him at 7, but 9 overall. But somewhere in that range, I could also see us doing something like a Devers and Jazz. Yeah, you know, Jazz Chisholm. I don't know how I feel about Jazz right now. But yeah, you're looking at, you want at least a top 25 guy to start and then another, you know, one that's not far off a top 25. I think like Riley and Harris fit that bill for sure. But all right, next on the list here after Mr. Judge, Corbin Burnes. So all I wrote on our rundown was Corbin Burnes dot, 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 WTF. So in my home keeper league, it's a head-to-head. I only have two head-to-head leagues left. And I faced my buddy, and I looked at the beginning of the week. He's got a lot. He had a lot more starters than me. I'm like, all right, it's not going to happen. Trying to get all the, you know, the quantity. So let me go for quality. Try to get, you know, saves and holds, lower ratios, etc. And I was like, all right, I'll start Corbin Burnes and McClanahan early this week, and then see how I am. And they both get lit up. And Burnes just hasn't been nearly as good. Like all of a sudden, he's kind of falling off a cliff. He had that 114K. Outing against, I believe it was St. Louis, kind of mixed in there, but overall his ERA is up to 3.12, which is not very Corbin Burnes like, and it's 4.69 since the All-Star break in 71 innings after having it 2.14 in 113 innings before the All-Star break. I believe he is at a career high for innings, yeah, 184.2, but again, like He had 167 last year. That's not like a massive jump. That's pretty, you know, good jump. 15-20 innings. That's pretty good. So I'm just wondering, like, a lot of the metrics are still very, very good. I don't know, Chris, what is going on with Corbin Burnes right now?
I wish I had a good answer, but since August 18th, he's been a different pitcher. That's seven starts, a 5.62 ERA. Over that time, just has, you know, about a K per inning. He has 42 Ks and 41 and two thirds, excuse me. So that's not been good. I wish I could just pinpoint something that has gone wrong with him. Maybe the command's a bit off. Maybe he's tipping his pitches just a bit, but there's obviously been something a little wrong. And you look, and the Sierra's still good at 3.47. He has a 3.82 xFIP over that time. So those are encouraging, but I do have to wonder, like, why is he not missing as many bats? You know, that's certainly a big thing. The swinging strike rate over that time is 13.5%. He's allowing more zone contact. Those things are a bit concerning to me when we look at the overall profile. You just have to wonder, like, is it a little funk and he's just in his head? It's possible, but I don't know. Maybe it depresses the price for 2023 and buy back in, because, you know, I'm not overly concerned long-term. I mean, we're still talking about an ace, in my opinion. So even digging into it a bit, like, I'm struggling to really figure out and pinpoint, like, why we've seen this really go downhill like it has over the last, you know, month, seven starts per se.
Yeah, there's no metric in the profile that's like, oh, boom, that's the reason why. So maybe it's a command thing, but like, look on the season, he once again has three pitches above a 45% whiff rate, curveball, changeup, and slider. You know, cutter has been, you know, about the same metrics wise as last year. You know, the ground ball rate has gone down a little bit, but there's like little things here and there, but nothing that would, you know, hint at, you know, the performance we've seen from him over the last, you know, 6 weeks or whatever it's been. So yeah, I'm hoping that this is just maybe he's a little fatigued type of thing. Obviously that happens, but if that drives down the cost for next year, I am all in. Or if I could even get any sort of discount in Dynasty, I would definitely jump on that. Is he your SP1 still for Dynasty purposes? Where does he fall in that upper echelon for you?
Yeah, he was still number one in the last update. I had McClanahan second behind him. I think I had Sandy third and Cole fourth. So I still have Burnes at the top just due to age and the upside and the ability. Man, you mentioned whiff rate. And the crazy thing is, in September, the whiff rates are even better on those pitches. Curveball, 46% whiff rate. Changeup, 51.4%. Slider, 52.9% in this month. And it's like, what? I don't understand, like, what's going wrong. Like, what has caused this to happen? He's given up a few more home runs, but, like, man, maybe just missing the pitches by just a bit, maybe tipping it a bit, but still, his whiff rates don't really suggest that. So that's right. It's bizarre to see what's happening with him.
Sure has. And yeah, my last update, I had him 18, McClanahan 19. And it's like, I don't think there's a clear cut number one anymore. I think it's a cluster. I actually, since then, I moved McClanahan ahead by one spot. It's almost like I flip flopped him, but yeah, I still think he's at least either, you know, if not one, he's two or three at the absolute lowest. So yeah, I think just don't worry about Burnes. It sucks. Unless I get it. He's burned me right now in multiple leagues, including that my, you know, my home keeper league that I just mentioned in head to head semis. I get it. It sucks, but don't be alarmed long term here. I think everything's gonna be fine for Corbin Burnes moving forward. Moving over to some younger names here. Nolan Gorman was demoted recently by St. Louis. They brought up back up Juan Yepez. It's been like a revolving door between those two and then Alec Burleson, trying to find the hot bat there in St. Louis. But Gorman has had, you know, some bright spots. There's some good metrics here, but also some red flags, like the K rate, 32.9%. But at the same time, he has a 14.4% barrel rate, 43.3 hard hit rate, 14 home runs, and 313 plate appearances. Kind of almost performing as I expected. And I've never been, like, I used to be a big Gorman guy. I've kind of cooled a bit. So I don't know where the hit tool is at. He's hitting 226, 300 OBP on the nose. You know, have you, you know, compared to, let's say, you know, 4 or 5 months ago, going back to, you know, April or March or so, Chris, has your opinion on Gorman changed, or do you think this is who he's going to be? Low average guy with good pop.
This is pretty much what I expected. And especially we're talking about a 22-year-old making his major league debut. He just doesn't really have the contact skills to hit for a high average, in my opinion. And I think what's the most surprising thing to me is just the quality of contact. The barrel rate's really good at 14.4%. Like, that's impressive. But overall, the like average EV, 89, is like kind of meh for a player with his profile. 110 max EV, kind of meh as well. 33% K rate, like, that's just not going to fly. And the larger issue is, you know, a 20-degree launch angle. So when he is hitting it hard, like just getting to too many fly balls, interestingly enough, like, really struggled against fastballs this year. 194 batting average against fastballs and a 33.4% whiff rate on those pitches. Like, that has me a bit concerned. And you look, and the zone contact's not great. The overall contact's really meh. So, you know, we're just whiffing a lot. And I'm not out on him, but I think this is kind of to be expected from a player like him coming into this kind of season. So, you know, he could be a decent buy low opportunity in Dynasty League, I think. But I think the expectations should probably be tempered that we're looking at like a 240 hitter that does have power to get to 30 home runs.
I don't even know if I'd want to buy low right now, though. You know, like, I'm not opposed to it. The notion I kind of agree with, but I don't know. I think 240, 250 is probably like the high end of a spectrum, maybe even 220, 230. I just don't see enough in the profile to think like, oh, he's going to hit over 250. I think that's probably his ceiling. And yeah, the power's there, but it's not like he has like this huge opening for playing time either. Like, he's gotten a chance. They've already demoted him. Burleson, they have Juan Yepez. He's going to have to hit, or he's going to kind of find himself in, you know, not quad A territory, but like kind of, I don't know what I want to call it, but that territory where they're like, they're good enough to be there, but they haven't distanced themselves from the rest of the pack. Kind of like Gavin Lux over in with the Dodgers, kind of something like that, where this playing time just isn't there because they're not performing well enough to get that playing time regularly. But I don't know. I think there's so many guys like him nowadays that can hit 230 with 25 bombs that he doesn't really stick out to me anymore. Not that he ever really did, but I don't know. I'm not out on him, but he's only 22. Like, he's still very, very young, but he's not a target of mine. Moving over to another NL Central team, though, probably one of the more polarizing, exciting, frustrating players in baseball right now, and that's O'Neill Cruz. 6'7" O'Neill Cruz. The good is that he's on right around a 35-15 pace with 100 RBI this season in about 70 runs scored. He's got a 16.9% barrel rate, 46-4 hard contact, you know, average exit velo is almost 93 miles an hour. Max is 122.4. He's hit home runs off of, I think, DeGrom and Burns. I think it was another huge name he hit a home run off of. 90th percentile sprint speed. All those sexy numbers are there, but also a K rate around 40%. So you and I both tweeted about him recently, Chris. You know, and I saw your tweet about how, you know, some of the other metrics like the O swing and then the swing and strike rate have come down, even the K rate's still high. I don't know how I feel about O'Neill Cruz right now. It's like, part of me was like, oh, I want to put him top 50. Another part of me is like, no, don't. There's too many red flags to work on. So I don't know. He's a hard one to rank right now, but kind of after what we've seen here, about half a season or so sample size at this point, where are you at with O'Neill Cruz?
Well, I guess the biggest thing with me for O'Neill Cruz is that even when he's struggling to make contact, he's still posting the ridiculous power speed numbers. So I guess I question like what he could be if all clicks. Has the best power in baseball. I mean, the exit velocities kind of point to that. I mean, he has the hardest hit ball in StatCast era, if I'm not mistaken. As you mentioned, the pace is just insane, 35-15. The batting average is the biggest question. I mean, like, what do we see him hit for? Like, what does he level out to? The crazy thing is that despite the O swing trending downward, And the swing and strike rate trending downward, he has a 41.7% K rate since August 1st, which is pretty significant. And I looked, I was like, well, is he getting pinched on some bad called strikes, called third strikes? And that wasn't the case. There was like one or two that looked to be out of the zone based on the pitch chart that I pulled up. But I guess with him, it's just the questions of what do we get out of him? I think the lack of batting average is coming from the line drive rate. 16.3% is a pretty low line drive rate for a hitter like Cruz. When you hit the ball that hard and hit it on the line, it's going to drop for a base hit more often than not. But he has a 49% ground ball rate. And obviously when he's hitting the air, he's got a near 30% home run to fly ball rate. So when he gets in the air, it's likely to leave the park. But we're just getting too many balls on the ground, not enough line drives. So that's naturally going to, you know, have a lower BABIP connotation with it. And someone with Cruz's speed and with how hard he hits the ball should run a BABIP higher than 302, which is right around league average. So he's a tough one to really evaluate. I think the upside's a first rounder for fantasy purposes.
Agreed, yeah.
So if this is the downside, like if the downside's a 30 home run, 10 steal, 220 batting average, like I still think there's pretty good value to that, honestly. But just where to rank him, I guess that's the hard part. So factoring both those in, like I'm still kind of in on him.
Yeah, I am too, because, you know, I hope that, I guess, fingers crossed, he can figure it out to a degree. And you don't have to have him be a 280 hitter. Now, would that be great? Absolutely. But I think even at like 250, he could be a fantasy first rounder, or at least close to it at that level. Because like he's already on a 35-15 pace with 100 RBI. I know RBIs fluctuate, but 35-15 pace right now as a 218 hitter with all these metrics. Like the upside is 40 plus bombs, you know, 15 to 20 steals, plenty of counting stats. I think Pittsburgh's lineup is just going to keep getting better with all this young talent they get coming up here over the next couple of years. So, and he'll be right in the thick of that. So I think, yeah, definitely fantasy first round potential. It's just, where does that average fall? You know, does how much, you know, can he make those, some of the gains that like Jazz Chisholm made before he got hurt, and, you know, guys like, you know, Austin Riley, though his weren't quite as profound, but can he make those same gains that other big power hitters with, you know, questionable hit tools have made? And I hope so, because this is a potential generational talent, potential annual fantasy first rounder. So yeah, I think I'd move him. I've moved him up since my last update. Let's see, what do I have him now? I had him 88 last update, or no, 92, and I moved him up around 70 right now. I probably should move him up higher, but I want to see some of those gains being made before I can put him, you know, up with the likes of, you know, even like Jazz Chisholm, who I have around 40 right now. So, and between those two, Chris, O'Neill Cruz, Jazz Chisholm, who do you think's, you know, 5 years on the run, who do you think's better?
Probably take O'Neill Cruz.
Yeah. If he can, it's, I think he has the higher upside. So even if he doesn't quite make the same level of adjustment that Jazz made, if he can just make any adjustments here, get that K rate to 30%.
Right.
Would you like it lower than that? Sure. But 30, I think 30% would even work. If he can get up to 250 or so, then that'll be like maybe even 40-20. Like he's got 40-20 potential, and I could probably count the number of players in baseball that have that level of upside on one hand.
Right.
Two hands at most.
and you mentioned the first round upside. So I looked at Adelis Garcia, who currently is ranked 14th on the Rasball Player Rater. And currently he's 25-24 with a 252 average. So you think about Cruz with a 250 average, and I think that you are looking at a first round talent for sure, because the names that Adelis is around are pretty impressive. So
yeah,
I mean, to be 14th on the Player Rater speaks a lot. And, you know, Adelis is making it work despite, you know, below average contact rates, below average zone contact. And he has cut the K rate a little bit this year, which has been encouraging. But even last year, he was at 31.2% and had 31 home runs, 16 stolen bases. Nobody should expect him to repeat it again. And Cruz has more talent than this. So, yeah, I mean, Cruz is one that I could definitely buy into. I think he is a good buy in Dynasty.
I think so, too. Well, I guess it depends who has him in your league, because I think some people will be like, oh no, I'm not trading him, look at the upside. But if you can get him, I think now's a good time, because this might be the lowest you'll see his price tag for many, many years. And Adelis Garcia too, now that we're on the subject of him, man, I think a lot of us were wrong on Adelis Garcia. I think we weren't, I don't think we were wrong for thinking the way we did, because we looked at the metrics and they were all, there was a lot of concerning. Like, yeah, the power sheet was great, but like, all right, how long can he keep up this approach? And like you said, he's made some improvements this year and he's making it work. And, you know, maybe he'll be maddening week to week, month to month, but you know, Roto end of the year, I say he's right around like 25 or whatever it was. You take that. He's 20th in the or 19th in the Raspberry Player Rater. Hey, that's it's pretty damn good for where he was being drafted, which was, you remember where his ADP was? Like roughly,
I'd guess it was in the 150 to 175 range.
I was thinking, yeah, 140, 150, yes, but regardless, great value this year. So yeah, if O'Neill Cruz can even get to 250, watch out. He's gonna be an absolute monster. All right, last bit of news here before the break. Ezekiel Tovar promoted to the majors by the Colorado Rockies, basically going against everything they've ever done and blocking prospects. Let's just promote Ezekiel Tovar, which I was vocal on Twitter about. I'm like, I love Tovar. I have him number 9 overall in my rankings. I've been very high on him, but this seemed very odd for him to get the call right now, given the time. If he didn't miss, I think it was like a month and a half or maybe even 2 months of time, middle of the season, I could see it, but I figured they'd just let him finish here at double A, start him at triple A next year, and then bring him up, you know, May, June or so if he started out hot. But, you know, overall, like I said, Tovar is, the talent is there. Like, absolutely. Like I said, I saw him earlier this year, was very impressed. He had a opposite field home run earlier the year. Overall, in 71 games, most of which were at double A, he's got 5 games in at triple A recently, 319, 387, 540 slash line. 14 home runs, 17 steals, only been caught 3 times. Walk rate's right around 9%, and the K rate is a tick over 20%. So nice little power speed blend, hitting for high average. Chris, how do you value Tovar long term? Like, what type of player do you think he can be? You think this is a, you know, I think he could be like, you know, close to 20 home runs, maybe 25 steals. I think this could be a top, you know, 30 or so overall player if everything kind of breaks right for him. But what are your thoughts on him long term?
He's a really tough one for me to evaluate. And it's just so bizarre because he last played June 29th, and then he was out until September 15th with that injury. And then they sent him to AAA, which he wasn't at AAA before, which was bizarre and aggressive. Again, yep. Anti-Rockies.
Yep.
And then they call him up. Like, what? Like, it's just kind of baffling to me. But I don't know. I just remember him in the AFL, and he was like such a slap hitter. It was really bizarre. He did have one of the higher max EVs in the AFL, which was encouraging. But then it's like, you just watch him. It's like interesting to me to, you know, think about what kind of power he could get to. Now, he had a last season between low and high A hit 15, which, you know, pretty reasonable, with 24 steals. And this year in 295 double A plate appearances, 13 home runs and 17 stolen bases. You know, hit for good average again. That's kind of what we expected from Tovar, to have a good feel to hit, maybe below average power, and, you know, a good feel on the base pass. I won't say he's like a plus runner, but he has a good feel to steal bases. So Coors obviously is a huge BABIP boost for somebody like him that already hits for a high average. So you think like the batting average is going to be there. And if he's hitting enough fly balls, then it's possible that we can see him get to some pretty decent home run to fly ball numbers. Now, of course, this doesn't naturally allow more home runs, but the ball just travels a little bit further there, which is helpful for that. So we're looking at a player that I think has average power that will play up in Coors Field. I'm interested to see, like, God, this is just so aggressive for somebody that just turned 21. And, like, will it stun his development? I hope not, but I also like to see like what he can do. It's, you know, it's a meaningless low pressure environment for him to be in over these next couple of weeks. Just like see what he's got. I mean, he's better than any other shortstop option that they have in Colorado. So why not give him a try?
I can't wait for Colorado to, you know, they've made this promotion and then they just don't play him. Watch, they play him like 2 or 3 times a week and then put, let's see, who's the candidate to start over him that makes no sense? Let's go, like, Alan Trejo or someone like, all right, Garrett Hampson. Yeah, Jose Iglesias. Like, I can just totally see. I said, isn't Iglesias is hurt right now, but he'll probably come back and start. Yeah. I can see them starting somebody that shouldn't be starting over Tovar. Like, you call him up, start him every day, like, give him a full workload. But yeah, I said I'm very high on Tovar. From what I remember seeing last year of him AFL to when I saw him back in, I believe it was June or even May, it looks like he's bulked up a little bit. He's looked a little bit bigger, especially in the upper half. So I think maybe that plays into a little bit of his kind of power surge this year. We said up to, he said had a 540 slug and a 221 ISO here the last year, 475 and 183 respectively, or 188 respectively. So definitely like the all around skills. I believe, yeah, I do agree that Coors could definitely help that skill set play up. I think he's going to be a very good player for a very long time. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break to get a word from our sponsor. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Support for Fantrax Toolshed is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Need some new tools for your shed? Sure you do. So check out Manscaped. They recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. So trust over 5 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. And that's 20% off and free worldwide shipping using the code TOOLSHED at manscaped.com. The Manscaped Performance Package has arrived. It's a game changer. And inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear, nose, and hair trimmer, the Crop Preserver ball deodorant, the Crop Reviver toner, the Performance Boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. If you've never tried Manscaped, now's your time. The package is incredible. So many good things in there that you need for your grooming down there. The Lawnmower 4.0 is the trimmer, the future of grooming. Just absolutely blown away by its performance and craftsmanship. It features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. Maybe cutting edge, but it won't cut you. They have advanced skin-safe technology. Lawnmower 4.0 is also waterproof and has a 4,000K LED spotlight that you need for your most precise shaves. Because this trimmer is waterproof, you can say goodbye to the mess on the bathroom floor. And you thought that was good, but Manscaped wants to take your grooming game even further by offering the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and provides the same proprietary skin-safe technology. It also comes with the Crop Preserver below-the-waist deodorant and Crop Reviver below-the-waist toner that will change the way you approach your daily hygiene routine. Manscaped even throws in two free gifts for you in the 4.0 package, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. So bring your comfort and boxers to another level as well. Get some new tools for your shed. Use the code TOOLSHED at manscaped.com to get 20% off and free shipping worldwide. That's right. Just use the code TOOLSHED at manscaped.com.
All right. Welcome back from the break. Let's get into some prospect standouts here as we kind of, a lot of the minor league seasons are wrapping up here. Some are in the playoffs, like Double A, which I think is Triple A the only one still going in the regular season, I believe? Or is there?
Yes, they are.
Yeah,
they will go. I think they go through the end of the major league season as well.
I believe so. Yes, that's the only one still going regular season, but a lot of a Double A, Single A, etc. playoffs are already underway. So let's get into some of those standouts here recently. People that are finishing the season strong. Let's start on the pitching side of things here. We got four names: Chase Silseth from the Angels, Bryce Miller from the Mariners, Clayton Beater, who I put mistakenly as the Dodgers. He's now with the Yankees. And then, well, really three other names here, but we've already talked about them a lot recently. Andrew Painter is still dominant. Tanner Bibby keeps going, and then Brendan Fatt as well. But we'll focus on the other three since we haven't talked those guys as much. Let's start with Chase Silseth here, double A. Over the last 30 days, 24 innings, only given up 7 hits, 4 runs, 6 walks, 36 Ks, that is a 150 ERA and a 0.54 whip. This is a guy that came up earlier in the year, kind of surprisingly, but it's the Angels, so not really that surprising, and made 7 starts, didn't look great, but this is a guy that only had, I think, probably, what, 5 or 6 starts at the time in double A. So can't just kind of throw those numbers out, I think. But look at what he's done in the minor leagues this year when he has 110 strikeouts in just 83 innings in double A, which equates out to, quick math here, 34.4% K rate. Walk rate is pretty solid as well, 8.4%. That'll play. But I think he still gets undervalued a bit, and I'm even guilty of this as well. I'll admit it fully that I didn't have him high enough in my rankings. I'll update that next, probably next month when I update them again on Fantrax. But what kind of a future do you see for Silseth here? Do you think he's just maybe a high strikeout, mid-rotation type of guy, or do you see something bigger for him?
I do think that's probably the reasonable expectation. I think he's pretty underrated. I think people are hanging on to what he did in the major leagues when he was clearly not ready at all. And you look at what he's done in double A, it's been pretty exceptional. You know, 25.9% K minus BB rate, swing and strike rate of 17.8%, a whip below 1, and a 2.28 ERA on the season over 83 innings. Pretty impressive stuff that we've seen from him this year. He's made some tangible changes we've seen with the arsenal and just made improvements. The arsenal is pretty well rounded, brings 4 pitch mix to the table. You know, he doesn't always throw all 4, but you know, the command, I think, is taking a step up this year, and that was really the biggest question with him, is where would the command be? And it's been there consistently in double A, and he's rolling with confidence right now. I think Silseth could be a solid major league starter that we're kind of underrating a bit.
Yeah, I think I was holding on to that the major league starts as well, which I shouldn't have. Like, I absolutely should not have, but yeah, I think he's a guy that should be top 250, maybe top 200. I can see where I have him right now. Probably not high enough. Let's see, I have him 257. I'll probably bump him up even higher than that. So I think I like him more than some of these names above him, like Reese Olson, guys, Jake Adder, Nick Bitsko, who hasn't even pitched. So I think he'll maybe closer to 200 than 250 for me moving forward here. But yeah, I think he's definitely a solid buy right now in dynasty leagues. And same with this next guy, Bryce Miller, who is absolutely dominant. He had the big stuff coming out of college. Maybe it's the fact that he's a little bit older. He's 24 years old in double A, but you can't really argue with the results here over the last month. 25 innings pitched, 2.88 ERA, 0.92 whip, 35 Ks to 11 walks for the season, 3.16 ERA and a 1.04 whip in 133 and two-thirds innings, 163 Ks to 46 walks. I think I've seen you tweet that Bryce Miller is underrated, Chris. How underrated, though, is the question. Like, where do you think he should be in rankings right now?
I think he's a top 100 prospect. I think he's shown enough to see that. And I watched him fairly often in college and really liked a lot of what I saw with him. He gets really good ride on the fastball up in the zone. The fastball can get up to upper 90s averages, mid-90s consistently on it. I just really love the stuff with him. And I just think that he's still a name that's flying a bit under the radar, as he's just really dominated at every level he's been at this year. He obviously made just 1 start in low A, but then high A and double A. He's worked a ton of innings this year too, which has been pretty impressive to see, and just been solid at every stop. So Miller's kind of question was command, and he's another one like Silseth who I think has made improvements this year. I really like the profile as a whole, so I would get in on him if you can, because I think that the price is still depressed a bit from where it will be. I think people will catch on a bit more in the offseason as people do more digging, but now's the time to get in on him. So yeah, Bryce Miller, I think he's a top 100 guy.
I think I'm almost there with the FC. I'm pulling up where I have him ranked. I have him 115 right now, but that's he's already risen a good 30 spots since my last update, and he'll probably continue to rise here. I like Bryce Miller a lot. I did out of college. I think I had him fairly high in FYPD rankings. I all kind of liked him. So, yeah, definitely top 100 caliber for sure. Last name here, Clayton Beater, went over to the Yankees via trade, was drafted by the Dodgers. You know, a lot of stuff with Clayton Beater. Yeah, he's been pretty good since he came over to the Yankees. He had kind of lackluster beginning of the season when he was still with the Dodgers in Double A Tulsa, 5.75 ERA over there, 7 starts with Double A Somerset. I have not had a chance to see him yet, unfortunately, but he's been dominant, 25 and a third innings, 6 runs, 11 walks, 41 strikeouts, 2.13 ERA, 107 whip. Like I said, the stuff is really big. He's still kind of, you know, the rankings of him are still pretty low, I think, just because he's been so inconsistent, even, you know, earlier in this year. I don't even have him top 100 right now, or at least I didn't in my last update. He has since moved into my 400, so I think he's definitely warranted at least a spot in the 400 range, maybe even closer to 300. But what are your thoughts on Clayton Beater? Do you like the move to the Yankees? Think he could be a big riser over the next year or so?
I think it's possible. I think there's concerns with, you know, his walk rates. Been good. He struck out a lot of guys since going over. He's made 7 starts since the trade and has a 3.46 ERA with 44 Ks and 26 innings. Like, obviously impressive stuff. That's a near 40% K rate, but the walk rate at above 11.5% is a bit concerning for me. I mean, he's running a 192 batting average against, which probably isn't sustainable given that he's running a 321 BABIP. So I think there's probably some regression coming with him, but I do really like the overall profile if he can, you know, just keep the command a little bit better.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of there with you. Like, the stuff is good. Strikeout rate is good. This needs to, you know, tighten things up a little bit, so to speak. All right, moving over to the hitting side of things here. Let's start with a few prospects that are a bit older. So not, you know, don't have the young upside factor to them. But you look at what these guys have been doing this year, and I think we need to show them more love, all of us. Like, I think all these guys are, you know, very undervalued right now. Starting with Cade Marlowe, 25 years old, Seattle Mariners. Now, this is a guy that has back-to-back 2030 seasons. Let me pull up his stats from last year. If I can type his name correctly, there we go. Yeah, so last year he was 26-24 in 106 games. This year, 21-41. In 126 games. This year, 290, 381, 485 slash. He has 8 home runs and 10 steals over the last 30 days. So you look at what he's done, Chris, and, you know, a lot of this has been at AA this year, got to the PCL recently, but a week and a half ago. Do you think that it, you know, look at the profile and, you know, solid power, good speed, you know, still has some concerns with the hit tool, but he's hit 290 this year, 275 last year. So he's hitting well. K rate is okay. Walk rate's pretty solid. Is this a guy that should be top 100? Because I think he's at least close. I moved him. I even had him too low in my last update. I moved him up inside my top 150, where exactly it was. I have him at 142 right now and probably even going to move him higher than that. Do you think this is a guy that should be top 100 pretty soon?
It's possible. We saw him last year in the AFL, and he was okay, but that was coming off a pretty good year. Like, I was actually excited to see him because he had a pretty good year last year, and he even made it to AAA at the end of last year from high A. And I know that was more of a thing where just get him another game basically to end the season, but he didn't really stand out to me. He was all right in the AFL, I thought, but he's really picked up from last year and it's been even better than he was. And, you know, at some point, like, I know we always put a big age to level thing on prospects, but at some point you just have to look at the numbers and, you know, be able to accept a player for what they are despite their age. Because Marlowe wasn't even drafted until 2019, and then obviously the lost 2020 season really set him behind, so of course he was going to be older for his level, and there was nothing he could really do about that. And I feel like they were pretty aggressive with him. I mean, this was really only his second full minor league season, and he excelled. Now, Marlowe to me reminds me of like a sum of the parts type player. I don't think he has, you know, any tool that stands out, But he just does a lot of things well, and I think that's good enough in that extent. So really what we've seen from him this year is him putting the ball, you know, in the air enough to get home runs and also posting a solid line drive rate, which has helped to drive that batting average up a bit. Yeah, you know, 25% K rate, like we can live with that. It's down from last year, which is encouraging. You always like to see those kind of improvements. And he's a high OBP guy, so I think it makes sense, and especially in an OBP format, for him to bump towards the top 100.
Yeah, I said these older guys, and we'll talk about another one of these quote-unquote older prospects here in a second, they just get devalued because of that age. But like you made a great point that, you know, he was a little bit older when he was drafted, and then he missed 20 years. So that definitely factors in. Like he's not quite as old in terms of being a prospect as you probably would think by looking at his age. But yeah, the production is very, very good. He's definitely improved this year from what we saw last year. Everything's pointing up with Cade Marlowe. You can't knock the production. How does he fit in Seattle long term? I don't know. There's a lot of names there that they're trying to fit in. There'll probably be a trade here. You got to imagine at some point of somebody, maybe it's him, who knows, but he's definitely a good buy right now, because he's top 100-ish value that you can probably get for a much, much lower, you know, trade price. So great, great buy right now. And same with this next guy here, who is 24 years old, and he's just having an absolutely dominant season. Doesn't have the speed of Marlowe, but this guy's hitting for a ton of power. Mr. Matt Mervis from the Chicago Cubs. Over the last 30 days, slashing 344, 443, 767 with 11 home runs. What is he, Aaron Judge or something? So those are Judge numbers right there. And then overall this year, 309, 377, 613, and 549 plate appearances with 39 doubles and 35 home runs and only 18.6% strikeout rate. You think he, you know, with the Cubs too, Chris, there's not, you know, a lot in his way, so maybe he doesn't get a shot this year, but this is a guy that I think could be like a solid, you know, draft and hold pick next year, and a guy that could be, I think there's a good path to some solid fantasy production here. Like I said, he's got a decent hit tool, good power, maybe a 260, 25-plus home run type, and that'll play right there.
I think so. I think Mervis is underrated, another one due to age, but what the encouraging thing with him is the fact that he's improved his strikeout rate at every level, continue to cut that as he's moved up. The walk rate's trended upward as well. So those are things you like to see in prospect development. And, you know, the OPS at each level this year in high A, 1039, in double A, 966, and then 990 in triple A. So, you know, Mervis is someone I like a lot for next year. I think he's going to be underrated. And you can probably still get them, you know, a bit cheaper than the production will be, actually. So Mervis is one of these kind of pop-up guys because, again, we're looking at a profile where he didn't even play, you know, until 2021, like in the minor leagues. So that's obviously significant. And when you overall look at the profile, I think Mervis is somebody that you can certainly buy into.
Is he top 100 for you?
He was right outside of it, I think, in my last update.
That's fair. I'm moving him up right around there as well. As I think looking at the profile, I think it's definitely worthy of at least in that discussion for top 100 overall. So who do you like more, him or Marlowe?
I think I'm a little more confident in Mervis because we know he has a carrying tool and the power. At least I feel that way.
Okay, I'm right there with you. I don't have any strong opinion either way. I like them both, to be honest with you. But I probably would lean Mervis a little bit as well. Though that speed, though, with Marlowe does add a different element. But I don't know. I think maybe the higher upside goes to Marlowe just because of that speed. But I feel a bit safer about Matt Mervis at this point. But I think both are phenomenal buys right now in Dynasty. Same with James Outman, too. Another guy that don't know where he fits in with the Dodgers, but just performing very, very well over the last month or so, and really all year. Last 30 days, 115 plate appearances. And here's another guy that's 25 years old, 357, 439, 735, 9 doubles, 5 triples, 6 home runs. That's a stolen base recently, which is kind of odd, but 13% walk rate, 19.1% K rate. That's very encouraging for a guy that has had some strikeout issues on the year. 297, 398, 582, 31 doubles, 29 home runs, 12 steals, 27.3% K rate, but a 12.8% walk rate. Is he a good buy in your mind as well, Chris? Like I said, the kind of the good power, a little bit of speed there, kind of looks like he's making some improvements as a pure hitter, but again, with the Dodgers, where does he fit in? So kind of where are you at on James Outman? Are you in or out on James Outman?
I'm kind of neutral. You look at the profile and, you know, where does he fit in? As you mentioned, the Dodgers just go by who they want. And this isn't really the type of profile that they go out and give, you know, guaranteed at bats to, unless he just dramatically shows out. And, you know, Outman had a good showing. He did make his debut already and did look pretty good. But I just wonder where he fits in the puzzle. Now, the bat is good. I got to give him credit where credit's due. I mean, good power and good speed as well. He's a good runner. And it looks like to me that the hit tool was improved this year from everything I've seen. And that just gives me the questions of, like, you know, what can he be, but where does he fit in? Maybe he's a trade candidate for him and you can get playing time elsewhere. That would probably be best case scenario.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking too, because I like Outman. I don't like him quite as much as Marleau or Mervis, but he doesn't have, like, those are the two. Even Marleau, I think, has an easier path. And I even said that he doesn't have an easy path in general, but it's the Dodgers. They're still giving, you know, semi or close to regular bats to Cody Bellinger for some odd reason. So it's going to be hard. Look how long it took Gavin Lux to break in. And Gavin Lux is a better pure hitter than Outman is and higher prospect pedigree than Outman has. So yeah, I don't know where he fits in, but like the talent, but I kind of wait and see mode with him. All right, moving over to, let's see who else we got here. Some little bit younger names here. We'll go a couple with Baltimore, Jordan Westbrook and Connor Norby. Now, Norby, I think, is one of the more underrated prospects in baseball, personally. And in Westbrook, too, I think they're both very underrated because they're kind of, even though they're both like top 100 guys, in my opinion, all the big names that Baltimore has, I think they kind of get overshadowed a bit. You look at over the last 30 days, Norby has just been balling, just flat out balling. 362, 429, 745 in 112 plate appearances with 10 home runs and 4 steals, 10.7% walk rate, 18.8% K rate. And this is a guy that Eric Garfield said, like, hey, watch out for the power because he's got more power than people give him credit for. And he's showing that here. And then Westberg over the last 30 days, 126 plate appearances in AAA. 305, 413, 590, 9 doubles, 7 home runs, 4 steals, 13.5% walk rate, and an 18.3% K rate. And I'm trying to get as many shares of each of these guys as I can. I think they're both very undervalued here, Chris.
I think so, too. And I think Norby's really going to pop off probably in the offseason again as people really go back and evaluate what he did. Westberg, I think, will probably stay more under the radar. But Norby's numbers have been just stellar all year as he's moved up levels. And that's the crazy thing. I mean, he was okay in high A and then was really good in double A and has been, you know, solid already since he moved up to triple A. So those are encouraging things. Like, never expected someone like Norby to post a 960 OPS over 300 plate appearances in double A, but he did. So that was pretty significant. Huge OBP. He walks a ton. He doesn't strike out that often either. And he's got developing power to pair with good speed and good instincts on the bases too. So I'm certainly encouraged by what we've seen out of Connor Norby. I think he's a top 50 prospect at this point, not valued as such. I feel like Westbrook just flies under the radar. Since I saw him last year in high A, I really liked him. And he's just kind of been solid this year. And then in AAA, he took it up a notch and has been really good. So both of these guys are buys for me if I have the opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. And I think I said they're both great values right now. Like, all these names we've been talking about here, especially on the hitting side of things, or even those pitchers too, for the most part, they're just great value buys right now because their perceived value is a bit lower than what it should be. Like you said, Norby's top 50. I totally agree with that. And he's probably not getting value. He's probably getting valued in the 100 to 125 range if I had to, you know, venture a guess. So yeah, great value. Westbrook's always kind of flown under the radar. He's always kind of been in Gunner's shadow, which is, you know, valid. Obviously, Gunner's the better player here. But yeah, definitely very encouraging seeing what these guys have done. And yeah, both are great buys right now in Dynasty as well. Moving on here, back to an older name, so to speak. As we had a couple of kind of another couple promotions that didn't quite get as much fanfare as Tovar did, but two pretty solid names are performing well this year. Matt Wallner with the Minnesota Twins and Jordan Diaz with the Oakland Athletics here. You know, like I said, both performing well in the minor leagues this year. Both should have, or more so with Diaz, an easier path to playing time because it's Oakland and why not? But between these two, Chris, is there one that you're higher on in 2023 and beyond than the other?
I think I like Jordan Diaz a little better just because his field hit. Like, I trust the hit tool with Diaz, and he's obviously developed, you know, some power this year, which has been encouraging. I don't think he's ever going to be a big power guy, but maybe he has average game power. We can't expect speed from him. Wallner, on the other hand, has really good power, but I think there's more concerns with his hit tool. He hit 299 in Double A, but dropped down to 247 in Triple A. So, you know, his average is going to kind of fluctuate. I mean, he ran a 31.3% K rate in Double A and 27.5% in Triple A. Walks a ton, OBP monster. But on the flip side, you look at Jordan Diaz, who ran a 15% K rate in AA and a 12.5% K rate in AAA. Diaz puts the ball in play a lot. He doesn't walk a lot either, so it's an interesting profile. But it does lead to good batting averages with him. And even though he's not going to hit for the kind of power that Wallner will, I trust the hit tool.
Yeah, I think Diaz is more like a 275-ish hitter. It may be around 20 home runs. We'll see. Yeah, Wallner's probably could be 25 to 30 home runs over a full season, but yeah, where does the average lie? That's definitely the question. So if you want go a little safer, I go Diaz, and especially playing time as well. There's much more playing time opportunity there for Diaz in Oakland. Like Wallner, there's so many guys like Wallner that are still trying to get playing time in Minnesota, and you have Kirilloff and Larnick and all of them. So I don't know exactly how he fits into the picture there, but I think Diaz would be a solid, you know, draft and hold type of guy for next year. Two more names on the list here. Back to the National League Central here. Joey freaking Weimer. I love we all love Joey Weimer. We know our good buddy Bubba is basically his, you know, father in spirit. Joey Weimer, you know, big power, big speed, K rate issues throughout the year, but all of a sudden, like the last 5-6 weeks or so, his K rate has gone way down. You'll even look over the last 30 days in AAA, 98 plate appearances. He has more walks than strikeouts, 18.4% walk rate, 14.3% K rate, 346, 459, 667 slash line, five home runs, and three steals. I think he warrants bumping back up. Like, I'm not quite sure what he has kind of fueled this approach, you know, improvement over the last month or 6 weeks or so. But if he can even get to this, like a 250 hitter, you know, maybe he's not O'Neal Cruz, but he's got some good power speeds. This is a, you know, 25 plus homer bat, 20 plus steal type of guy if he can get the 250. So I think it's going to move him back up rankings.
My fear with him is he's so inconsistent. I don't want to find myself just going up and down and up and down with him, because there is so much inconsistency in the profile. Love the power speed that he brings to the table. Certainly looked good in AAA, which has been impressive to see. And I just want to see the changes stick. Like, it's really the biggest thing with him. I need to see it a long term rather than just like a really good month and a really bad month. Cause I feel like that's really what he's done this year, is just like on and off and on and off and on and off. And that's a tough player to really evaluate properly. But when he's on, he's really good. It is interesting, you know, in the month of September, just one home run and one steal. But over that time, 306 batting average, which is good, and a 10.6% K rate is what you like to see for sure. So, yeah, it's just like he's a wild card of what you're going to get out of him from month to month. And that's my only concern with Weimer, even though I really like the power speed blend that he does bring to the table.
That's fair. Maybe if we can get another interview with him, maybe we can see if there was any change made, you know, back in August or whatever, whenever this kind of K rate started plummeting. See if there's anything that kind of fueled that. I'll be interested to see if we can get another interview with Mr. Joey Weimer. Last name here, a guy that I am just developing a major prospect crush on. A guy that he might be the number one catching prospect for dynasty purposes. Everyone will go to Francisco Alvarez, and he's great, but I think Endy is right there, along with a couple others that are getting kind of close as well, like Harry Ford and maybe Austin Wells. But Endy Rodriguez, he just won't stop dominating. You look at over the last 30 days, Endy's 378, 453, 711, 12 doubles, 6 home runs, 13.2% walk rate, and a 15.1% strikeout rate, and that pushing him up for the season to 323, 409, 587, 39 doubles, 24 home runs. You know, doesn't provide really much speed, 4 steals, but 11.6% walk rate, 19% K rate. This bat is legit. I mean, what is holding, I guess, me, you, everyone back from him, putting him top 25? Like, I feel like the profile warrants it, right?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, it's not like this is out of the blue. He did it last year as well in right, low exactly. A. It was really good, and he's continued to develop power. I was intrigued. Thought he'd be a top 100 guy this year, but he's kind of blown my expectations away. What you're getting out of him is, you know, a person that doesn't put the ball on the ground often. He doesn't strike out often. He's got good plate skills, good torque in a swing. That's where he gets to the power. I don't know. I mean, the nice thing also is he's versatile and he can play across the field, which hopefully he just catches enough at the big league level to keep that eligibility for fantasy purposes.
That'd be awesome. Hope so.
Yeah, that would be phenomenal. And, you know, he could be someone that posts OBPs consistently like 380 plus, because that's what we've seen in the minor leagues at each level, in low A 380, high A 392, double A 442. So obviously, like, he looks the part in that sense. So very valuable prospect that glad people are finally paying more attention to.
Yeah, I'm starting to really like a lot of catching prospects. You look at, so these are my current rankings. I have, see, Alvarez at 29. I have Endy at 31. I have Harry Ford at 37, who he's been very good lately as well. I have Wells at 46, Soderstrom at 49. So that's what was it, 5 or 6 in the top 50? And you get like this cluster in the 60-65 range of Yainer Diaz, Bo Naylor, Henry Davis, Diego Cartea, Logan O'Hoppe's top 100 for me as well. How many do I have top 100? This is actually, let me filter, this is catchers here. Top 100, I have 11 catching prospects right now. And yeah, probably half of them move off. But, and then I have a few that are pretty, I have 3 more that are in the next 30 with Parada, Shea Langeliers, and Edgar Cuero, who's having a very quietly great season as well. Maybe he's top 100 too. I mean, the catching landscape, Chris, is looking very, very good right now.
Yeah, it's better than ever, I think. We've seen guys pop up at the major league level, plus a ton of prospects. So it's been fun to see the catcher revolution in baseball.
And Logan O'Hoppe, again, I want to bring him up too, is he's actually been stellar over the last 30 days as well. He had more walks. Let me pull back up his numbers here. O'Hoppe, I love that name. Yeah, it's last 30 days, 317, 488, 619, 23% walk rate, 14% K rate, 5 home runs over that time. He was one of a few prospects that had a walk rate above 10%, K rate below 20%, and a 250 plus ISO this year. That's very elite company. Yeah, he's with the Angels now. I don't fully trust the Angels, but man, Logan O'Hoppe is a dude and probably one of the more underrated, not just catching prospects, one of the most underrated prospects in baseball right now.
I think you're right on that. I think there's he's been stellar. You look at WRC plus for the levels, and he's been at the top and underrated. And he's one that caught our eye in the AFL. So
yeah,
fun to really see that development with him.
You look at for the year, 447 plate appearances, 283, 416, 544 with 26 home runs and nearly as many walks as strikeouts. So it's all there, and he's undervalued as well. A lot of good buys for guys we're talking about in this episode, but that will wrap us up. Thanks to everyone for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. You can follow us on Twitter, Chris at RotoClegg. I'm EricCross04, and our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. And check out all of our written work at Fantrax HQ or over on our Patreon, of course. And join us again next time for more fantasy baseball talk. But until then, everyone take care.
KFC Everyday Value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.